this morning on Think Like Christ, Think Like Jesus. You will remember that in doing this series of teachings, we've looked at how to handle forgiveness, we've looked at how to handle injustice, we've looked at obedience, and we've seen that obedience holds the key to life. Whoever will not obey cannot be promoted by God. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, it says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." This morning, by the grace of God, we shall continue in that series of teachings, Think Like Jesus, and we are going to look at humility, which is another key characteristic that we find in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We'll go back to it again. The word of God says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. So we see those two factors there, those two virtues being made clear there, humility and obedience. There is a Greek word that is used to describe this passage. It is called kenosis. K-E-N-O-S-I-S. Kenosis. Empty out. Kenosis means to empty something. Like you have a vessel filled with liquid and you pour everything out and it becomes empty. That is kenosis. This passage describes the kenosis of Christ. Christ pouring himself out. In Colossians chapter 1, which we read, the Bible reading for today, we saw the Bible describes Jesus Christ and say he is the firstborn. Of all, number one, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So without Christ, there is nothing. Are you getting the point? And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Whether it is Lucifer, whether it is principalities, powers, demons, witches, kings, rulers, millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires, Christ created all of them. Created Pontius Pilate, created Caesar, created all the Pharisees and all the Sadducees. He was before them. He's their master. And then he emptied himself. Everything that you see, there are billions of stars in the universe. In fact, when you start reading about the stars, about the galaxies, and you begin to study the solar system, you are amazed that how would God look at an insignificant planet like planet Earth, even within our solar system, not to talk of within our galaxy. Earth is very insignificant, and yet that is where God will focus his attention. And yet, this is where God says he's going to move his throne to eventually. Because God is moving his throne from heaven, he's moving to planet Earth. We'll talk about that at a later date. The move has already started. The first member of the Godhead who has moved is the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ will arrive 7 years after the rapture. And then God the Father will arrive 1,000 years after that. But they are all moving. So God is going to be dwelling on this planet with the people he has created. And you just have to try and imagine, why would someone who is so great like that bring himself so low? And brought himself so low, creatures that he created were now slapping his face. They were spitting on him. They were saying, "Prophesy, who struck you?" They sat in judgment on him and gave him very unfair judgment. He didn't even need to talk. All he needed to do is just to blink an eyelid, and all of them will disappear. With the bone, with the flesh, none of them will exist. But he left them. Humility. The kenosis of Christ. And this is what he has called every one of us into. Now you can imagine the king of the entire universe now saying he's moving to planet Earth. He now chose to be born in a manger, where animals, goats, sheep have defecated and urinated. That was where he started from. Humility. He now chose a family to stay with when he would be on the earth for this assignment that he has. He now chose the poorest of all the families that he could find. Now, how do we know that the family of Joseph and Mary were very poor? When Christ was taken into the temple for dedication, you remember that the Bible says, and they took two turtle doves. You remember? For his dedication. Now, in Leviticus chapter 12, what the Almighty God says is that when they are going to dedicate the first son in the temple, the family should take a lamb. But if the family is too poor to afford a lamb, then they should take two turtle doves, which at that time could be gotten for free in Palestine. They just fly all over the place. You can catch two free. So when they were going to dedicate Jesus, Joseph and Mary could not find money to buy a lamb. So they took two turtle doves. So he became absolutely poor. He became absolutely empty for a purpose. Because he has to teach us a lesson. And the lesson is in humility. And believe me, brethren, when you take a full grasp of obedience, please, you must not forget to be humble. We are going to see the reason why in a short while. Never in your life look down on anybody. Never in your life consider something too menial for you to do. I see people in church, they are so arrogant. We had a program yesterday at Bariga, a care clinic, and the people who were supposed to set up the canopies didn't do it on time. So the moment I arrived, all the iron rods were on the ground, the tarpaulin was there. So immediately, let's start working. So we started joining them to set up all the canopies, set up the steel structure, and so on and so forth. Then I started calling other people who are supposed to be members of the team. Come, join. Let's do this thing very quickly. At that time, it was drizzling. So we needed to set it up so that the rain wouldn't beat people. And I called this pastor. Come, join us. I called him the first time. He did as if he was coming. Then he parabolated, he went away. I called him again. Then he did as if he was going to come. Then he parabolated. And then we set up some. We now needed to carry the canopy. We needed six people to carry one canopy so that we can move it to where it ought to be. And I called this man again. Come, join. You know, he didn't take his hand, but when I arrived, I saw him in one corner of a place praying with some people. What? Hey. And immediately I detected he didn't want to do it. And there were other people there that didn't want to do it. And I asked myself, why? Why can't you just come and do something that is menial? I can't judge, but it's a question I ask myself. So later on during the program, Someone now came to me and said, we want to distribute some t-shirts for people who have been working, free t-shirts, that he wanted to give it to me. I said, look, I won't have time. He said, okay, who should I give the t-shirt to? I said, well, I can't tell you to give it to, but I will tell you two people you must not give it to. I now mentioned the name of that pastor and the name of somebody else. I said, those two people, make sure you don't give them. Why? Because I had detected pride. It was a low job. It was a job that we paid people to do. Those guys that were doing it, they were like casual workers, laborers. But at that particular moment, there was a need. Are you getting my point? It's like you come to church, you see that this whole place is not swept, this place is dirty, and then you are waiting for some people to come and do the sweeping. And then you are waiting for some people to come and do the arrangement. Brother, let's not forget, God is watching us. We will see what God says about the prideful, and it is not a very nice thing. I pray that God will not detect pride in any of us in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, because it's one thing that will turn man into the enemy of God. Let's go to John chapter 13, verses 12 to 15. John chapter 13, verses 12 to 15. What did Jesus Christ teach us? When you go through the scriptures, there are only two instances in the entire New Testament that it is written that Christ gave us examples to follow. Only twice. That the Bible will say, this is the example that Jesus Christ laid for you that you must follow. Only twice. The first one, we will see it here. Let's read John chapter 13. We start reading from verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15. For I have given you what?
An example
that ye should do as I have done to you. That is the first example that Christ gave us. It is the example of a servanthood. Every Christian is called to be a servant. All these ones, we are the ones who are the masters. We are the ones who will lead. We are the ones. It is not the example of Christ. And it is very, very common in the church. I have seen pastors that will no longer carry their Bible. Somebody must carry it for them. I have seen pastors who will enter a place of worship. It's as if God Almighty has entered the place. You will see some people talk, conduct themselves in the church. You will think you are looking at the creator of all the other members of the church. It is pride. Jesus did not give us that example. The example he gave us, that he set for us, that look, as I have done, this is what I want you to do, is the example of a servant. You must begin to reorientate your mind and begin to change the way that you think, and let this mind be in you that primarily you are a servant. So when you get to where people are, when you get to any situation, you don't look for who is going to serve you. You look for who you are going to serve. You look at a situation and your mentality is, what can I do here? You meet people, your mentality is, what can I do for this person? Not, what can this person do for me? Is somebody following along with us? It is as you serve that you get rewarded. People want blessings, people want this, people want that, but they are prepared to do nothing for nobody. It's not Christianity. Don't be like that. You make God your enemy. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 10 and see something else there. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. Mark chapter 10. We're looking at thinking like Jesus. Humility. You must think thoughts of humility because God hates pride. Mark chapter 10. Are we there, please?
Yes.
Verses 35 to 45. Fairly long, but God will help us. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be what? Shall be last of all. Mark chapter 10. I'm reading verse 35. Oh, sorry. I did read Mark. I was reading chapter 9, verse 35. Sorry. Okay. And you know what? And it goes with what I'm saying.
Yes.
that's the interesting thing. So that's why I didn't notice the difference. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Thank you, Lord. Now, I didn't plan to read that. Now let's now go to Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what will ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with us shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard of it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Why were they displeased? Look at these two greedy fellows. Is it only your family? John will sit on the right hand. James will sit on the left. How about the rest of us? So they started arguing because they too, they were coveting the right hand and the left hand. And Jesus Christ makes it clear, the issue of divine promotion is determined by God. It is God who decides. Like the Bible says, Psalm 75, promotion does not come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He sets up one, and he puts down another. And God has said, the person that he is going to set up is the person who puts himself down. That's his criteria. Because it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord. The race in life has nothing to do with how much you can struggle. Has nothing to do with how smart, how clever you are. For it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Are you following along with me? You are receiving today a key to promotion. It is humility. Many of us have been brought up to assert ourselves. There is too much gra-gra in many of us. You get to a place, you want to show that you are there. You push yourself forward. You project yourself. Now when you project yourself, God pushes you back. Are you flowing along with me? If you are trying to show we are the ones that are there, God will show you are not there. He hates pride. Because it is not the nature of Christ, it is the nature of Lucifer. Now let's continue. We've read verse 40. We read verse 41. Verse 42 now says, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, that is all the disciples, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Verse 43, but so shall it not be among you. It shall not be so among you Christians. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, is the word servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even he himself, the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Where did our pastors read in the Bible that a man of God should be called daddy? Where did they read it in the Bible? Where is it in the New Testament? What is there is that call no man on earth your father, for ye have one father and he is in heaven. In verse 8 of that Matthew 23, Jesus Christ says, and all ye are brethren. All of you are brothers and you are sisters, which means Peter, James, John Wesley, Robert Evans, David Livingstone, Smith Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, Brother Kumuyi, yourself, myself, Pastor Adeboye, Bishop Oyedepo, we are all brothers and sisters. We have only one father. He's in heaven. Not one of them is daddy. Why are they calling them daddy? Why did they not reject it? Why did they not stand on the pulpit and say, nobody in this church must call me daddy? Because God says we have one father. If you look at John chapter 20, verse 17, when Jesus rose from the dead, if you read it, let's read it. It's not a question of if you read it. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 17. So that we will read it there. John chapter 20, verse 17. Are we there?
Yes.
If we are there, can we say amen?
Amen.
All right. Jesus said unto her, Mary Magdalene, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my what?
Brethren.
Go to my what?
Brethren.
Even Jesus Christ refused to call himself Father. Even Jesus called you and he called me brother. Okay? He now said, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and what? Your Father. And to my God and your God. So where is the daddy in the church? See, because one day will come when all of us are going to stand before Jesus Christ, and the things that we see here will not be the same way over there. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, ye are they which exalt yourselves amongst men. You forget that that which is exalted amongst men is abased in the sight of God. That's what he told the Pharisees. Let me quote it well. He said, ye are they which justify yourselves amongst men, but God knoweth your heart. Say, that which is exalted amongst men is abased in the sight of God. The one that men are saying it has glory, it is ugly in the presence of God. I see pastors, I say they will not carry their Bibles anymore. When they talk to people in the church, they say, all my children who are in this place. We went to a church once. We went to visit a friend and we worshiped with them. And the bishop came in. And the bishop was talking to the singles in the church that they have to, now that you are single, this is the time for you to serve us. That is it, after you are married that you will not have time. That when you are single, you have time, then you should serve us. And I know, serve, who are the us? That was the same pastor, bishop, who said that God has now given him a jeep, that he has now joined the class of elitist pastors in Lagos who use four-wheel drive. I shook my head. Of course, I didn't bother to tell him. I pray that God will find a way to humble him and bring him down if he's going to make heaven. I pray God will humble him. I pray that if there's anybody here who has pride in his heart, God will humble him. Because if God does not humble you, believe me, you can't be his friend. Let us share where the confusion probably started from. Because the confusion came from somewhere. Are you feeling along with me? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. One major problem that we have in the church. We will look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I will quickly open again to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 45, which we read, and then Mark chapter 9, verse 35. Is somebody following along with me? Because many of us do not know that there is a difference between Old Testament and New Testament. As a matter of fact, many pastors do not know. So many ministers of the gospel, they confuse the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they just mingle, they jumble everything together. Somebody following along with me?
Yes.
Because everything is the word of God. But there are certain things that God told the Old Testament saint that he did not instruct the New Testament saint. And there are certain things which he instructed the Old Testament saint that he corrected it for the New Testament saint. If you look at Matthew chapter 5 very well, you will start underlining every instance in which Jesus Christ says, "Ye have heard it said, but now I say unto you." Ye have heard it said of old, but now I say unto you. Which means something was existing. That thing that was existing has now been changed. Somebody follow along with me. But many teachers of the word of God do not make the distinction. So they jumble it together. That is the basis for the prosperity message. The prosperity message is not a New Testament doctrine. It is an Old Testament doctrine. All these messages of blessing, abundance, promotion, breakthrough, they are not New Testament teachings. They are Old Testament. They are imported from the Old Testament to confuse the church. That's why you will rarely find Christians who are willing to do what Jesus Christ says, because they are confused. They don't know the difference. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. Now read this, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath." Now, I have seen this printed out as stickers and placed on cars. "I am the head and not the tail." So whoever is going by this will enter a situation and he will begin to impose himself. Are you following along with me? Say, God says, "I am going to be the head and not the tail." So he will enter the fellowship. He will want to start dominating other people. You will tell him to carry a chair. He will not be able to carry the chair. Why? You don't tell the head to carry a chair. You will tell him to go and sweep. He will not sweep. You can't tell the head to go and sweep. He's the head. He's the one in charge. So pride enters the fellowship. People begin to impose themselves upon one another and they begin to fight each other. And then they are blaming the devil. It's not the devil. Now compare this with this Mark chapter 10 verse 43. Jesus Christ says, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant." He's talking to his own to the church now. This is the instruction of the church now. Verse 44, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 35. "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Now, is this saying the same thing with that Deuteronomy chapter 28 that says, "I will be the head and not the tail"? So, you know, they are saying two different things. Is somebody following along with me?
Yes, sir.
They are saying two different things. Deuteronomy 28:13 is saying that you are the one who everybody must serve. Jesus Christ is telling you, as the New Testament says, you are the one that must serve everybody. Now, until you get it in the right perspective, you will be in church, you will be looking down on all the other members of the church. That's why we find cliques in the church. That's why we find only rich people congregate together. That's why we find that poor people, they also have their own committee. That's why before they will give you an office in the church, they first look at your car and try to assess how much money you are contributing. Are you getting the point? Before, even if you are anointed, fire is coming out of your head. You don't have money, you are nowhere in the church. Why? Because the pastor is looking at Deuteronomy 28. Ye shall be the head only, and ye shall not be the knee. So everybody is saying they are going to heaven, and Jesus Christ is looking down at them and asking, which heaven? I've gone to places to minister. The moment I arrive, the first thing they do is somebody wants to carry my Bible. I said, no, you can't carry my Bible. They said, no, Pastor, we have to carry your Bible. And we will stand there almost every fellowship. I will be struggling with them for my Bible. And I always make sure they don't carry my Bible. At a point, I said, okay, you give me yours, let me help you. I said, no, say you are pastor now, I can't carry your Bible. Because that's what they have been taught. It is not Christianity, oh. Don't join them. Somebody flowing along with us. Don't join them, it is not Christianity. Christianity is humility. No matter what you have, you must consider other people better than yourself. You must be willing to relate to people who are lowly than yourself. You must be willing to talk to people that you are better than. You must be willing to make friends with those that are lowly. If you say, I have a class, and below that class, I don't talk to those people, brethren, you are looking for trouble. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone that is proud in heart is what? An abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Though hand join in hand, like what? Even say prayer of agreement for that fellow, God will still deal with him. He will not escape punishment because it's an abomination to the Lord. Now, let's quickly look at this before we continue. What is pride? Pride simply means overestimating yourself. And that overestimation may come as a result of money. Some people are proud because of beauty. Some people are proud because of where they work. Like somebody who is employed may not want to talk to people who are unemployed because their level differs. Or somebody who is working in the local government and someone who is working in MTN. Okay? They say, we are different. In fact, when he says MTN, you just imagine how much money that fellow is being paid. And he say local government. He say which local government? He says Saleudo, local government. I say, okay, welcome, brother. And then he turns his back and he talks to a dentist or to a doctor. Because that one is not part of our class. That's pride. You are overestimating yourself. And then at the same time, you are underestimating the other people. That is pride. You add value to yourself, you devalue the other fellow. Then you are behaving as if what you have, you are the one who gave it to yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. A very good question that every one of us needs to answer. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. Are we there, please?
Yes, sir. Okay. For who maketh thee to differ from another? Who made you to be different from the other fellow? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Who made you different from the other person? What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that came from you? What is it? God now says, and now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Please give me that Living Bible. I want to read that one out in Living Bible. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. Why are you so, what are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And if all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great, as though you have accomplished something on your own? What is it you have that God did not give you? Is it beauty? Did you create yourself beautiful? Is it good figure? Did you give yourself good figure? Is it education? Are you the one who did it? Even if your parents have money to send you to school and God didn't give you brain to learn. Huh? Is it a good job? Okay, what if you died before you started the work? What do you have that you did not receive? So God asks, what are you so puffed up about? What's in you? When you analyze the human being, and you sit down and you look at man and you look at yourself, you discover that there is nothing that comes out of man that is worthy of anything. Whatever comes out of man is foul. It is dirty. It is disgusting. In fact, you don't want to touch it. Whatever comes out of, no matter how, look, bring Miss World here. Miss World, put her there. She has about 9 openings in her body. Whatever comes out of any of those openings, you don't want to touch it. That's man. Foul, dirty. What is it puffed up about? You have 2 eyes. If Miss World puts her finger into her eye and brought out a substance, can you lick it? Just at the eyes. If she puts her finger into her nose and brings it out, can you touch it? If she puts a finger into her ear and use a cutting board to clean it out and say, oh, can you hold the cutting board at the end that went into the air? If she spits on the floor, can you touch it? Not to talk of she defecates or she urinates. And you see people walking puffed about as if they don't go to the toilet. And God looks at this useless, dirty man. Who do you take yourself to be? And he's looking down on other people simply because he has a few million naira in his account. And God says, I can shake the economy just 1 second and all your money goes. All he needs to do is just shake the economy. And everything goes like that. He can leave the economy and shake the man's heart. And the guy gets into a stroke. And he can't even sign the check. And people are stealing his money right before him. He can't talk and he's alive. Somebody is sleeping with his wife. He's lying down there on the bed. He can't talk. He can't move. And he's not dead. And the fellow is going about puffed up as if without him nothing can happen. Brethren, avoid pride. Is somebody feeling along with me?
Yes.
Adopt the heart of Jesus Christ. It will help you. Wherever you go for the rest of your life, you will always find favor. James chapter 4 verse 6. Let's move very quickly. James chapter 4 verse 6. James chapter 4 verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to what? To the humble. Look, let's analyze that statement very well. Let's assume all of us here, we are inside this hall. Somebody flowing with me? And somebody wants to enter into this hall. And we have all decided he must not enter here. So all of us come and we push this door like this. Can the fellow enter? No. Why?
Because
there are too many. Our collective strength is greater than his own. But what we are simply doing is what we are resisting that man. That's resistance. We are giving him resistance. You will not come in here. God says, if he finds pride in a man, that he will resist the man. Now, when it is God resisting a man, when it is God, the man says, I want to reach that goal in life. And God says, you will never reach them. The man says, I want to become this. God says, you will never become it. The man says, I want to achieve this. God says, you will never achieve it. Resist. May God not become your enemy.
Amen.
Somebody flow along with me.
Yes,
he says he resists the proud. Look, to make sure that you don't forget, when God wants to make a point about something, he will say it twice. That's why when Jesus wants to talk to you, he will say, verily, verily, I say unto you. That's why when he wants to call people, he will call them twice. Samuel, Samuel, Moses, Moses. He will say it twice. He said it here in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 6. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let's go to 1 Peter, just the next book, chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. 1 Peter chapter 5. Are we there?
Yes.
Just open a few pages. Chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. A different person writing. James wrote the first one. Peter is writing this one, and they are saying the same thing. And they are already sitting down writing together. Somebody flow along with me. God saying the same thing and repeating it again. That in case you read it in James, you didn't pay attention to it, I'm telling you again, I will resist you. So whatever the prideful person has made up his mind that he wants to become in life, God says you will not get there. I pray God will not become your enemy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If pride destroyed Lucifer, pride will destroy anybody. If pride can cast down someone seated in the throne of God, sorry, in the presence of God, in the courtroom of God. Lucifer was never on the throne of God, but he says that he wanted to get to the throne of God. Because what kind of nonsense is this? And the guy started saying, I will, five times. I will ascend to the north. I will set my throne above the stars. I will be like the Most High. God said, no, you will be cast down to the earth. So God cast him down to the earth, didn't stop him on earth, and put him in the bowel of the earth. You know, hell is under your feet. And put him there in the house of fire and sealed him up there. Pride. I pray pride will not be found in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Please don't forget, pride starts from the heart. It starts from where? It starts from the heart. That's why the word of God says, let this mind be in you. You need to check your life. You need to review how you relate to people. Now, God is not saying you have to go all over the place and be the friend of everybody. Okay? That may not be possible. And of course, you will not have time anyway to be the friend of everybody. Or else you will do nothing else with your life. Okay? But those that God bring your way, always make sure that you relate to them with meekness.
Do you understand? Don't look at this one, I can't relate to this one because of so, so and so. I can't relate to this one. If you are going to discriminate against people, it should not be on the basis of I am better than they are. It should be on the basis of this one's character is bad. That one God approves because he says that evil communication corrupts good manners. So say this one is a liar. This one is a thief. This one is a prostitute. Then you can distance yourself. Or this one is a gossip. Well, we'll talk about that later. That's another fellow that God doesn't even want to see at all. The gossip. The one who is carrying story all over the place. Have you heard? See what they have done now. That one is another case on its own. Praise the Lord. So we look at that at a later date. So, if you are going to discriminate, it should be on the basis of someone's character is bad. Not on the basis of, I am better than you are. You okay, this number. This one does not measure up to our own standard. I pray God will deliver us from pride.
Amen.
There is one story I would have loved us to read. But let's quickly, in the next few minutes, 2 Chronicles chapter 26. The first time I read that account, it made such a big impression on me. The story of a king whom God helped so much, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, but he messed up so bad. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let's just look at verse 16. Okay, I start reading from verse 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Are we there, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously held till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. This man was nothing when God picked him. At the age of 16, he became king. The kingdom was in shambles. But because he turned to God, God helped him marvelously. When he became strong, he became prideful. He died a leper. You can read the entire story when you get to him. He died a leper. One thing you need to be careful about, brethren, please. This thing that I'm about to tell you, put it in your left hand so that you will not use it to eat. Are you following along with me?
Yes.
You put it in your left. If it's in your right hand, you can eat it by mistake. Put it in your left hand and keep it there. There is a day in your life that is called the days of small beginning. Maybe you are in your day of small beginning now. Things are not working out well. In fact, it's like your first name is crisis and your surname is confusion. You just don't know what to do anymore. You are moving from one crisis to another. Nothing is working. But you see, it is a phase. Are you following along with me?
Yes, sir.
It is a phase. It will pass. Sooner or later, you are going to break out of it because God is going to give you a chance. He gives everybody. What happens is when God gives people a chance, they mess up. Are you following along with me?
Yes,
the one thing that can make you lose your chance is to become arrogant. And the worst form of arrogance is to display it to the Almighty God, which a lot of people do. How can you become arrogant against God? In the days of your crisis, they don't need to call you to pray before you begin to blast. You pray. In the days of small beginning, they don't need to invite you to fast. You fast. You are very kind. You are very church. You don't miss church. Anything to do for God, you are there. God now put a small change inside your pocket. You don't have time to pray anymore. You are becoming a big man. You don't have time to study your Bible anymore. You are becoming great. Don't let your heart be lifted up to destruction. Are you flowing along with me? Look, whatever you are doing for God now, as God begins to increase you, increase what you are doing for Him. That way, your greatness will last till the end of your life. Because everybody is given a time and a season. Maybe you are in your own winter right now, but sooner or later, your spring is going to come. Amen. After your spring will come, your summer is going to come.
Amen.
Are you following along with me?
Yes.
It's called the seasons of life. Pride will destroy it. Pride. So, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Watch the way that you think. Don't look down on anybody. Don't consider yourself better than anybody. Don't look at a task and say, this one is too small for me. Look, I can sweep this place and mop it. I come here, I arrange the chairs. Even before members of staff will come in here to do something, I will come, I will do it. I will carry open. There is nothing that we are doing that I will not do. Why? God has taught me over a long period of time that humility is the key to promotion. Pride is the key to destruction. I pray you will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads in prayer and talk to the Almighty God this morning. Let's talk to God. Let's pray.